You are listening to Kingdom Life Podcast. Welcome. I'm Pastor Rassi, and I'm privileged to have this time with you to speak on God's heavenly realities. May He bless you and reveal Himself to you in this message. You are listening to Kingdom Life. I am Pastor Rassi Fourie, and I am so privileged today to be joined by my wife, Michelle Fourie. Welcome on the show, Michelle.
Thank you.
We are busy at our church with a series called Seated in Heavenly Places. And today's episode, we're going to speak a little bit about some of the research we have done, but also some of the content of the messages that we have given over this time. Is specifically, I want to interview my wife, Michelle, after a service she did in regards to the rest of God. So what does this have to do with seated in heavenly places? I want to read to you from Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, seated us with Him in heavenly places." So, Michelle, we've read this for the past 3 weeks, excuse me, to the church. And also, this is something that we really love to preach on and really love to minister on, is especially the new covenant of God. Excuse me. It's a new covenant of God, meaning, what does it mean for us as Christians to live a new covenant or a New Testament Christian life? And there's so many things that was part of our upbringing and also our theology, the churches possibly that we came from, that did not give us the full truth, or maybe presented something to us that was a good idea, but not really the truth from the Bible. So I don't know about you, we haven't spoken about this a lot, but in my church, I was raised with the idea that our church is the right church and the other churches are not right, wrong. And so, by implication, we believe that what we believe is right and all the other churches were wrong. I never really thought about unbelievers or the ideologies in the world. I just thought that we were right and all the rest were wrong. But nobody ever told me that we were right and they were wrong. It's just an idea that we were brought up with. But like that example, I was brought up in my house, but also in our church, that God is angry. And that you can be saved, but you have to earn His favor, His forgiveness, His salvation. That we learned through the messages that referred to our deeds. But after those messages, we always end up with, we are saved by grace. And that was just confusing to me. Was it the same for you?
Yeah, definitely.
You had the idea in the church that you are saved by grace, it's free, but you have to earn it.
Yeah, afterwards, after you being saved, you need to please God, and what you do has a massive implication on your relationship with God and your intimacy with Him.
Yes, and so the deep grounded belief in your heart was that God's really not pleased with us. We are sinful, He's angry, and we will never be able to please Him. And therefore, you have to keep on working or doing something to try and please Him, right?
Yes, and I think for many unbelievers or young believers, it's all in your deeds and what you do, and it's connected to sin, how you not sin, or the good things you do that pleases God, which it does, but that gives me favor with God. That was the main belief, and on the other end of the scale, you see believers who walk in ministries or start ministries or believe that whatever they do in ministry or how they act their faith out to the world will please God. You know, so you get, especially in the church environment, that initial belief is replaced by a belief that whatever I do for God, whether it's good deeds or a kind of ministry in church, will sustain my relationship with God.
So it's still on you. It's your responsibility.
It is still on me.
And so this is why this series is such a, it's amazing to just bring this truth back to the church again. I'm thinking about verse 8, saying, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, by grace. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So, Michelle, if we look at these verses, I really think Paul is trying to tell us that the kind of faith that we need to get saved is by grace, what God has given us to get saved, and is explicitly making a point saying it's not by your own doing, it's not by your works, it's by the work of Christ.
Yes.
And so this is what we've been teaching, and that's really what we believe. Your identity has been transformed. We are able to stand in a relationship with God. We are pleasing towards God, not because we have done anything, because we can't earn it, but because Jesus did everything for us.
Yes.
And so this verse then in verse 6 says, we have been raised up and we are seated with God in heavenly places. And so we've had this conversation a lot. We really believe that we need to operate a function from a different place. So yes. If we could start believe that God is pleased with us only because Jesus already did the work. He died and was resurrected, and I am now found my identity in Him. We might start asking the following question. How does it look for a Christian believing that we are pleasing towards God because we did nothing? And how does it look for us to live it out? So you had a message on your heart, something that God put on your heart specifically in regards to rest.
Hmm.
What's the thing about, what's the big deal about rest and resting in God if we are seated with Him in heavenly places?
I don't think we can find ourselves in Christ and understand what it means to us as believers today if we don't go back and really understand the initial intention of God. If we can understand what the initial intention of God was and His plan with mankind, then we might understand what He came to do and what He did in Christ for us as believers and why we can rest in that. So the big thing for me is to understand, and that was a big revelation for me, to understand that God is Alpha and Omega. He was in the beginning and in the end. So I think subtly I had a belief that God started with creation and He made man.
And He's surprised when we sin.
Yes. So then men or humans messed it up and He had to think about plan B. And so plan B might be when He took the Israelites from Egypt and He gave them law. And then they also messed it up. They couldn't sustain or even maintain that. And then initially, plan Z, He had to send Jesus. And now we hopefully can act as believers and please Him. And hopefully we will end up in heaven. I think that might be the train of thought for the broad spectrum of believers, in today's church. Is that God was surprised by what mankind did. He was irritated. He was taken aback by the choices we made. But thinking that God was at the end while He was at the beginning, knowing what the end results will be and what man will choose. In regards to that and according to that, He created earth, man, Eve and the Garden of Eden. There was something that He wanted to communicate with us in the initial plan of creation that was steering us towards His plan of love. He was busy unfolding this plan. And step one planned was Eden. And I believe that even after that, the law, the Israelites and the promised land, it wasn't a surprisingly plan B. It was part of plan A. And then Jesus was part of plan A. His love story was playing out towards us as humans. It was his saving plan. It was His plan to save us from ourselves from the beginning. He wasn't surprised. So we see in the beginning when He created earth and then man that He breathed His own breath into Adam. And the word there is pneuma, which is the life-giving spirit. So God immediately connected himself with man. He was interweaving man and himself, never to be disconnected again. Mm. And to understand the heart of God, that he never wanted to be separated from us, never.
And it never changed, right?
And it never changed, yes. So then he created Eden on his account. It says that God rested and after creation, and then there wasn't any man to work the earth. And when he made Adam, he created the Garden of Eden where he put Adam into. So it says in Genesis 2 that he took the man and put him in the garden. So God created the perfect resemblance of his heart for us, a place where he sustained it, he created it, he provided. And he and man could be in a perfect union in that place that was on God's account. It was his way of saying, listen, I never want to be disconnected with you. Never, ever. I'm breathing my spirit into you, connecting the two of us. And then I'm showing you what my heart is. This is on my account. I'm putting you in a garden where every tree, every fruit, everything you need will be for you to flourish and to reach your full potential as man on this earth and in my kingdom. Because of my spirit being connected to you, you will reach your full potential, but it's on my account. I am setting the stage for that.
Mm. That was always his heart. I read this morning in Genesis, I read the following scripture in, Genesis 3. After they had sinned in the Garden of Eden, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowledge, in knowing the good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken.
Mm.
It was so interesting. Initially, my thought was that God expelled them out of the garden because he was angry they had sinned. But if you read the scripture, it says that they have become like God, the half-truth that the enemy used to lie to them, in knowing that there's good and evil. And God knew that if they had to eat from the tree of life, they would have lived forever in a sinful state. So he removed them out of the garden because of his love and grace.
Exactly.
He was not punishing them.
Yes, and I think it was excruciating for God to know what will happen to man, but he already set the rest in place from his heart. You know, and if you look at the meaning hamartia of sin, it is when someone or something cannot express their true essence. And when they disregard the union with God and people. So sin is not the sin list that we are used to. The list that we set up for ourselves. Sin is when it's a state of mind and a position of your heart where you decide to not be who you were created to be and to cause division between you and God and people. And then I believe from there it the result is certain deeds because you don't give expression to your true self and the reason why you were created. And we see that in Adam and Eve. They were not in that perfect place of expressing themselves in their true identity and their true calling and mandate and their true union with God. They decided to go against that, and that led to sin. So it was a position of the heart. It was never only eating the apple. Something happened prior to that.
That's so good. Yes. And so we still do that today.
Yes.
When you think about your sin, you think about the list of things that you did wrong. And it always originates from the heart, the position of the heart. So just quickly, just in regards to what you just said, give a short definition of what sin is.
Sin is a state of your heart where you don't walk into the full expression and calling of God, the reason why he made you, the union, number one, we see the union with God in when he breathed his spirit into us, and then he gave mandate to Adam. He said, with my spirit in you, I have a plan. I have a plan that what you see here, this blueprint, that you will build it out, and that we will see our union expand into a kingdom. That is our mandate. That's our calling. That is the purpose we've been made for. The moment you walk out of that, you sin. Mm. And it's a state of your heart. It is not a list of deeds.
That's so good. That confronts the whole traditional meaning of sin. Mm. And then it leads you to ask the question then really what forgiveness is.
Yes.
So if it's a sinful state, it's a position of the heart, forgiving or confessing sins really means to confess that we've moved out of alignment of what God created for us and what his heart really is for us.
Yes.
That takes on a whole new meaning.
Yes, you know, and we see it in the lives of the Israelites. They spent so many years, 450 years in Egypt, and they got used to other customs, religious customs, and they moved out of that original design slowly but surely because they were expelled from the garden. And then God saved them, and he created the law, or the Ten Commandments with Moses, where he almost gave them another Eden, another way of life. Another ideal of being in union with God and people. But they couldn't keep to that because their hearts were divided. Their hearts were removed from that specific purpose with God. And that is why they did what they did. God even showed himself true in while they were walking for those 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear. Their shoes didn't walk off. You know, God really, he provided the food. He provided everything. It's his rest. Mm. It's when it's on his account. But they couldn't keep to it. They couldn't align themselves with that calling, that purpose, that mandate, and that union with God. And that was the sin, not what they did, because they couldn't align themselves with the intent of God. That was the sin. And the word says in Hebrews 4 that they couldn't enter the rest of God because of that alone, because of the unbelief they had in their hearts and the doubt. And it's the same with Eve. The moment she doubted in God, and she had unbelief, they were expelled from the rest of God. Perfect union and mandate. Same with the Israelites. The word says in Hebrews 3, verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That perfect union and mandate with Christ, with God. And that is why they could never enter the promised land. They all died out in their sin, their divided hearts. That's what happened to them. But the word says also in Hebrews 4 that today there's a rest available for us, for those who believe. The counteract of the unbelief. When we believe, we enter the rest of God. And that is not a prayer of, I believe in you, Jesus, as I believe in Michael Jackson. That is stepping into the union with God, and it's the restoration of the original intent.
So resting, if you could just in a minute say, what is this? Hebrews 3 and 4 speaks about the divine rest of God that is hindered by unfaithfulness and disobedience. But how do we put that together? Because if you don't understand what we started with, the podcast, then this could only resemble sinfulness as we defined it in the past.
Yes. To enter with belief in your heart is to say yes to God, to surrender your whole life. And there is a kingdom life after being saved, after salvation. Salvation is just your entry point into this new life of mandate and intimacy with God. And there's a whole life within that. And to believe is to enter the rest. It's on God's account. It was on Jesus' account. It was on God's account again. And that is why it's our rest. But it's not passive. It's active. It's saying, yes, God, I believe. I'm giving my all. I want to be, I'm going to align my life in perfect union with you. And I want to know how I can work and live and expand the kingdom from this union with you. And to find yourself in that, not in what you do, but in the intimacy of God, for him to live through you and the kingdom being built from that place. That's rest. It's on his account. He's doing it. His spirit. And that is why we read about his spirit crying, Abba, Father. We are not slaves of sin. We are sons. We are seated with Christ. Mm-hmm. We are in full intimacy with God. That is our rest. And the spirit does it. It's on his account. It's not on us.
I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you behind as orphans.
Yes. He said.
We have found our identity, our position in Christ. As sons and daughters, and there's a difference between just knowing and really being in the family, in the household. Yes. Thank you so much. If we can wrap this up, I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, but then resting in God, the Sabbath of today, really is, number one, understanding the unity between myself and God. Number two, that starts actually with knowing and understanding his intention that never changed since the beginning until now. Thirdly, is when I find myself, my position, my identity in Christ, in the work of Christ, then in faith in Christ, we enter the restful era of our life, the kingdom life, which means that God will do the work, and God did the work, that as we have faith and rest in him, He purposed us as well in the kingdom to do the works and the good works that he's predestined for us. But along with that, I want to go further saying that that's what it means to live an aligned life personally as well, not just for ministry, not just working for God. But we need breakthroughs. We need finance. We need many things in these days. And those things are not excluded from our relationship with God. And that's how we live. Many times. God has already died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead, but I need to still earn and work in all the other areas of my life. But when it pertains to my relationship and God, then I can believe it, and that's not the truth.
Yeah, definitely. There's a whole kingdom life from heavenly places where we are seated with everything under our feet with Christ. As the word says, everything, all principalities, everything is under his feet. You being in him means that those things are under your feet as well. And from that place, there's a whole kingdom life, principles and keys available for us to live our life on earth today, not according to the principles of this world, but according to the principles of heaven.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I really hope that we can have some more conversations about not just being seated in Christ, but what it really means to be found in him and to live this kingdom life for him to live this kingdom life in and through us. I really pray that God will reveal this to you, and that you would feel how he's calling you into him, into his rest, and to function and operate from a different place, a different realm, also a place of faith where we have trust in the fact that God already did the work and that we cannot do it on our own. I pray also that you would have a testimony of God doing the work as you submitted yourself to him, which means not just believing that you're bad, but believing that you can rest because he did the work. Thank you so much for listening. We are from Duet Church, and you can get hold of us here in Potchefstroom if you need anything. Michelle, any last words?
It's still to be seen for us as well, what the potential of that kingdom life is. And I'm hopeful for testimonies of the supernatural, of how we overcome this world, because Jesus overcame this world and everything that's here. And I believe that as we engage with heaven, that things might look different to us here on earth.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in for our next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I trust this message blessed you, and may God keep on revealing himself and the heavenly kingdom realities to you as you walk in his presence. Join us for our next episode.